Have you ever thought like that? People have said that that is when you should have known there's a problem. A donkey is talking to you. Now let me tell you about Balaam. You know why he did not run? It was not new. If my dog enters the house and says, "Pastor, you have visitors." Do you know? God has not given me the spirit of fear, okay? But I will have to clean my eyes, shake my head, then check what they gave me that morning to eat, because something has to explain bingo, giving me information. Are you getting my point? But guess what? This is what I understand when I meditate about it. With Balaam, he will have patted the dog on the head and tell it, sit. And he will get up. He will go out. He will not see any visitor. And he will know that was why God allowed the dog to tell him that the visitors that are coming are invisible. Or they are very far away. And it is important he knows ahead that they are coming. That was Balaam for you. Let me explain the story about Balaam. Balaam was a man who, when people wanted to go to war, they had needed him to pray. And if he would pray, Balaam could cripple armies with his power. Now, what I want to say to you now, don't quote it because I'm not sure it's true, but I want to give an illustration of a man who I know then, was my father's colleague in their office, where they had a big, he came from another city to my father's end to come and work. So I was there when the two of them were talking. He was telling stories of when they were riots in Ibadan many years ago, Ibadan, Western Nigeria. And that people were protesting or stuff, and that police would shoot as if live ammunition or tear gas or something, but that nothing could cross to where those people were. And that what happened was that there were two young women leading the riot almost totally naked. And that there was nothing you could do as long as those girls were there. If you fire a shot, it won't cross their line. They won't dodge. Anybody behind them is safe. He was narrating it. I didn't personally witness that. But I know such things exist because I know enough credible stories to let you know. I won't be telling you all of them now. But even those who are not Africans, they've come to Africa and seen it. One of the men I respect his ministry so much, the most, all right? I respect it so much, is John Graham Lake. He will tell you what he saw in South Africa. He saw a chief say, "I would set the other chief on fire tomorrow by 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, he went to the other man's house to come and see what it looks like. By 12, that man began to get a fever. His body began to grow hot. And he was about to collapse. In fact, he collapsed. Before he called his men, said, "Let's pray for this man, he's about to die. The other man is setting him on fire." Spiritual things, they are real. Can tell you other things. Balaam was like that. Please get it clear. Balaam was a man. That was why, listen, why I told the story of those girls, okay, is that when men went to war those days, that's how they went to war. It wasn't just, you know how to fight. Those things really happened. Why do you think Balak would send so much money desperately for Balaam to come? What you read in the Bible is not a gist, though. It's not gist. It's true things that happened. I'm going to emphasize something to you. Balaam was powerful. This is what I believe. He said, donkey is talking to Balaam. Yes, now. You think it's a new thing? If you told Balaam, somebody stole something, he will go there, look around, he will see a wall gecko, he will call the wall gecko. You were here. Who stole it? And it's in the Bible that the birds of the air, they can carry information. Balaam was powerful. And listen to me, he knew every sacrifice to make to get any kind of result. He knew every sacrifice to make. Let me tell you something. Spiritual things are real. I don't have time to go into it now. What people call witchcraft, if you see the way it works, you won't even be afraid of them. You don't even need big faith. Just know how it works. Being a believer is a beautiful thing, though. If you hear they say that they shake people's hands, something will disappear in their body. I'm looking for who will shake my hands so that your brain can disappear. No, that's it. If If you say you're a witch and you want to go and shake my hand, I'm happy. As long as I don't know about it ahead. That is the best one. Just come and shake my hand when I'm not aware that you have jazzed yourself up. There's something under your shirt. You have swallowed something that when you shake my hand, something will disappear. I'm happy. But when you shake my hand, God bless you. As I say it, your brain, phew, that's gone. No, there is a prayer I pray to God. Anybody who tries that, his brain should go. After that, you won't be normal again. You shook my hand. Yes. You will tell me, the only part of your brain that will remain is the one that will remember how the rest went. You won't see clearly again, no, because the brain for sin, the part of the brain for sin will go. It will be staggering every time because the part for balancing will go. I only allow you the part for talking so that you can narrate how the rest of your brain went. What I'm trying to say, listen, spiritual thing, I believe it. But let's focus on Balaam. Very, very powerful man. He knew what to do. That's why he would tell Balak. And you now say, but he said he was hearing the voice of God. Yes. He was hearing the voice of God. Many of us think that God only used to speak in church. It's not true. Go and read your Bible, Hebrews chapter 1. He said, in the former times, God spoke in diverse ways and in diverse manners to the fathers. There were different ways he spoke. He spoke even to people in Nigeria, not only to Hebrews. The story you read in your Bible is the one that have to do with how he spoke with the Jews. And when he spoke to them, the Bible says he gave them what they call the oracles of God. He was the only one, they were the only ones he gave things to record that we are supposed to read after Jesus would have come. But he spoke to many people. He spoke in Nigeria, that's one I'm sure of. When the missionaries were coming, he spoke to the people in Egba land. The Ifa priest went to their king and said, the God said they are sending messengers. We should be ready for them. When the missionaries came, they were surprised at the reception. Ishaya Odu, former the vice chancellor of ABU, Amadubile University, I heard his testimony on TV once. How come you are from, you know, you heard of Southern Kaduna being predominantly Christian? He told his story that how did he start? His own grandfather was an Islamic cleric. Until one day, an angel appeared to him. And the angel said to him that travel 2 days towards the south. That he traveled towards the south. The second day, you meet people coming towards the north. They are messengers of God. They will tell you the way of salvation. The man was an Islamic cleric. And he started his journey. When he got there, he saw missionaries coming up north. And he said, he discussed with them. Yes, I was told to meet you people. He sat down. And they educated him in the gospel of Christ Jesus. And he returned back. And all his followers became Christians. That is why till today, Southern Kaduna is predominantly Christian. These are true things. God spoke in diverse ways, in diverse manners. So don't be alarmed that Balaam was not the typical prophet you know, but he used to hear the voice of God. He used to hear the voice of God. He knew the sacrifices to make. Why am I telling you all these stories about Balaam? It's just one point I want you to get. He went to the people of Israel, even though God did not want him to go. But he went, and God said, all right, you only say what I asked you to say. And he warned Balak ahead. Open your Bibles, Numbers 23. He warned Balak ahead that I will only say what God asked me to say. If God doesn't tell me to say something, I will not say it to. And this was what Balaam himself found out after he felt the spiritual experiences of talking to, of prophesying over the people of Israel. Please, who is there? I want somebody to read it out for me. Tell me the version you have, then read it out loud. Verse 23, please. Say it, read it out loud. Tell me the version. King James, all right. Read it out very loud. Surely there's no enchantment against Jacob.
Neither is there any divination against Israel.
Neither is there any divination against Israel. He said, according to this time, it shall be said. In summary, what has God wrought? Who has another version? I want another version. What's your own? Living Bible. Go ahead, read it out loud.
No curse can be placed on Jacob.
No magic shall be done against him. That's okay. I just want those two lines. Another translation? NIV.
There is no
There is no sorcery against Jacob.
No divination against Israel.
I want just those two lines. No, just those two lines. I want the other translation. Good news. There is no magic or witchcraft that can be used against the nation of Israel. What's another one? New Living Translation. Yeah, go ahead. NLT. No curse can touch Jacob. Thank you very much. No magic has any power against Israel. We've heard it from at least four different translations, all of them telling us the same thing. He did not say there is no magic. Did he say there is no magic? No, magic exists. He didn't say there is no sorcery. Did he say so?
No,
sorcery. He knew sorcery. That's why he told the story of the man. Very powerful one. The man knew sorcery. He said, however, none works against Jacob. He said none can be used against Israel. And the Bible says they have a covenant that was founded upon lesser promises than we have. If you're in Christ Jesus, whatever Balaam said here is amplified in your life. My message today is to let you know who are not your enemies of destiny. Later, I will now talk about what the real enemies are and how to overcome them. Because Paul said, I do not punch as one punching the air. Anytime I want to punch, I have to aim properly. I have to be sure where I'm hitting. Many Christians, their enemy is here. They are kicking here. They can't see correctly. That's why we're doing this. And I'm letting them know, look in the right direction. There is no, listen, like, remember what I said? I'm talking to who? Christians. I didn't say there's no sorcery. The Bible didn't say there's no sorcery. The Bible didn't say there's no magic. The Bible did not say there is no witchcraft. He didn't say there's no omen. He only said it is the one that will work against Israel that does not exist. And Paul called us, you know what Paul called us? I feel like reading that. Galatians chapter 6. So that you will understand that what we are saying, we're not joking. Galatians chapter 6. Paul, when he was closing, you know what he said? Verse 15. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them. And what's the next line? Read it out loud. And peace upon the Israel of God. You know who was talking about? The people of God. Christians. Those who believe in Christ Jesus. He said we are this true circumcision. Who worship God in spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. He said we are the what? True circumcision. So when he says there is no sorcery that works. He was talking about you. He was talking about me. That's the first thing I wanted to understand. Some people say, let's go and break witchcraft pot. You know what I tell them? How is it my business? I don't know whether you're getting my point. He said, they locked your destiny, not my destiny. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Not my destiny. He said, but I have not made progress in the last 3 years. We will find out why. But it is not because a witch has it in the pot. I've been believing God for marriage. I don't have it yet. They say it's because they locked. It is not because anybody locked anything. There has to be another reason. I've been asking God for a child for 3 years now, or 5 years now, or 10 years now. They said they tied something. It is a lie. Whatever they tied is not affecting you. You know, sometimes I tell people, there are things you accept and you insult God. You may insult him for a while. He's watching you because of ignorance. He said, after tonight, that I've sent my servant to talk to you. If you answer some altar calls, I will have to personally discipline you. If you answer some altar calls, I will have to flog you by myself in this spiritual discipline. There are times people say that, today I want to break the curse of poverty in your life. Come forward with an offering. If you get up, poverty is your portion.
I don't know whether you are getting my point. Because first, you have to accept there's a curse. Where is it? It says, rise up. It's like the one that says, bring an offering. You are going to give a special sacrifice to say every power of witches in my life is destroyed. If you open that hand, that is the day your poverty starts. Like I always tell Christians, let's be bold to tell our pastor something. I say, pastor, if it is an offering, we have to give. That's not a problem. Where's the basket? We'll drop it inside. But stop insulting our Jesus with this kind of thing. If you want to raise money, one day I went somewhere. Big church, denomination that all of you know, I won't mention the name. I was not a guest there. Well, I was not a guest preacher. I just went there doing a big program. So I was there. One of our sisters. One day, a guy was there preaching. And I said, those days, he's from Anambra State here. He said, those days, we used to go to the shrine. And every year, we'll go and reenact the covenant. We used to go with a goat. So I'm looking at her. So, the way you worship your village idol, is that how you're planning to worship Jesus Christ? He now said, so today, come forward right now with offering. So the person that took us there said, that man, he's very good with raising money. I said, is that what he's doing? He said, yes. I said, why is he telling lies? I said, please, tell him to stop lying. Look, I was a guest, but what they wanted to do, I felt was a good thing, and I believe very strongly that, you know, people should do what is right. You understand? So, no matter the not lie, they felt that guy is told. They said this is what the church wants to do with money. I felt it was a good thing. I had money. So, I just said, please, find me the church account number. Right there, while he was telling his lies, I opened my bank app, transferred money to the bank account, the church bank account, dropped my phone, and continued. I said, why is he telling lies? He should come down from there and stop lying. If you want to raise money, tell us simply. Brethren, we need to raise 10 million. And Dangote is not a Christian, so we are not going to him. Is that not simple? So all of you that have, please, you have 1 hour. Go and bring it. If they won't bring it, the Lord has not sent them. That's it. I like to tell the story once, my convention, annual convention, my alumni fellowship. One day we were having a meeting. I was president that time. I stopped being president about a year and a half ago. I was the president, so... So my people whisper, I say, please, we have to pay. We have a major convention that we need 2 million naira. It's not complete. That I should tell the brethren. I told them, I don't complain about money. I said, but I will complain about Christian responsibility. So I got up, I said, brethren, please, all of you have not given enough. Remember, you must give. God has blessed you. I can see all the fine cars all of you are driving. Make sure that you give. That's all I said. I told them, look, as God has been increasing you, so you should reflect in how you are giving. You shouldn't be under financial pressure when God has blessed all of you like this. That's how I talk. So next morning, I saw my financial secretary. So I kind of asked her, Oti, how far? I saw God, there's no problem. I was supposed to transfer some money as a balance of my own contribution. I said, please, I will do that as soon as I have some time. He said, no, take your time. I said, what do you mean, take your time? He said, oh God, the money is complete. I said, tell me. He said, yesterday when you were talking, one brother left the hall, went out, brought out his phone, moved 1 million naira, came back in and sat down. I said, hey, now we are speaking. That's the Christian way to do these things. Not. He said, as I finished talking, people just came out of after the program, brought out their bank app. Phew. 2 million entered. So now I was telling him next day, he said, take your time. When you get back to Enugu, send that money. Don't worry. People say, but Tomat, tell me. You want me to give money, you not tell me that I should come and sacrifice to break poverty, sacrifice to break a curse. There are some things that are purely insults to the Lord Jesus. We should stop that nonsense. Let me say to you again, there is no magic available. Now listen, it's not as if it does not work for Christians. Now, it's not even available. I don't know whether you get my point. It's not available. All the ones made, none of them has a name against Christians. None. You've read it. Is it not your Bible? What the Bible says, peace be upon the Israel of God. There is no divination that works against the Israel of God. There is no enchantment that works against the Israel of God. There is no witchcraft that can work, that's available. There is none. So let's never, ever, listen to this. Let me end it here. The destiny is not in any witchcraft pot. Somebody say amen. There is no human being that has the power to hold your destiny. Say amen. No?
Amen.
I need to say this. Now, please, if you are not a believer, if you are not giving your life to Christ, don't answer also. You can see us later. Those two men at the back, they are very good with praying for those. And this man behind the camera there too. Very good with praying for those who want to give their lives to Christ. That's what you need. But for those of you who have, this is a fact about your life. He said, but I've not made the progress I wanted to make. We'll talk about that another time, all right? Tomorrow. But just know now, your mother is not a witch. She's not. She wanted, was a witch, like you do that time you were sucking her breast. Poisonous milk, now she will just like, you suck poisonous milk, diarrhea will kill you the next day. You didn't die that time, it's too late now. Please, all of you repent. You can't afford to believe a lie. You are taking the glory of God and giving to a human being. You say that a witch has the power to hold back your children. God has to punish you by himself until you change, stop talking that nonsense. He doesn't like it. He said, Jesus, okay, what you are saying is that all power in heaven and on earth was shared. Some given to Jesus. There are some of you, the only reason why you are having, you know, when people are misbehaving, check what's inside their heart. Too. Something is going on. Some people, the only reason why they're having problems with their in-laws is this witchcrafting. When their mother-in-law comes, they are afraid. Some mother-in-laws are troublemakers. Are you getting my point? But let me tell you ahead of time, their trouble is just physical. In your life, do you want to hear the word of God? Do you want to hear the word of God?
Yes.
This is the word of God. If your mother was truly, your mother-in-law or your mother was truly a witch, and you are truly a Christian, she's the one that will refuse to come to your house. Do you hear what I said?
Yes,
she's the one that will refuse. No, listen. I'm not joking about that. She's the one that will say, I'm not coming. If she wants to come, she's not a witch. She's not. She doesn't have. Listen. It's you that don't know what Christ is in you. A real witch does not want to come. Your house is uncomfortable. That was why the day I saw the bat in my bedroom, it did not cross my mind that it was a witch. They don't like my house. Even the rats that manage to come once in a while, they come to beg for holy food. They know. Do you get my point? That if we eat this, if we may but touch the edge of his bread, we shall be full. It sounds funny, but you know this is the word of God I'm giving you. The witch does not want to come to your house. That one that's coming is not a witch. If she was a witch, then she came looking for deliverance. Why are you being wicked? Many people, the reason why they have family trouble, in-law trouble, is what I'm telling you. They are afraid. The other day, I heard one story that pained me. Some people I know. A woman died, you understand, had a child. Then the husband remarried, which is not a bad thing. But of course, the late woman, all her siblings and parents are alive. So they want to meet their child, that is their grandchild. Said, I heard it too, that the man is just dodging. They couldn't understand. So after I said, I heard that, the man said that he doesn't want the boy. I said, it's not possible for somebody to be born. You will not let him know that your own mother is late. And this mother, you know, is your stepmother actually. Is it possible? Are you going to hide that forever? I said, no, that's not possible now. When I heard the story, I said, you must understand what's happening. Witches. That is the issue. They've told this man that somebody in that family is a witch. They are the one that killed the woman that died. So he's hiding the little boy from witchcraft. That is what believing lies do to families. It separates families.
I'm not lying. You know, many people here, I'm not saying that's a word of knowledge, but just because it's so common, I know many people here, you are having problems. You may not be one that started it, or maybe somebody else did. It's because of fear. I've seen men that ran away from home because a prophet told them, your wife is a witch. I want to tell you today, it's an indictment on a Christian that you ran away from the witch. The witch didn't run away from you. If your wife was truly a witch, she's the one that will disappear. You will come home and say, honey, where are you? Say, I'm coming. Come now, I am naked. Who told you were naked? I'm right behind. You know, that's what happened to Adam and Eve. Jesus, the Lord didn't run away from them. They were the one that ran away from the Lord. The Lord said, where are you? Say, we are naked. What do you mean you are naked? We have been seen for some time. What is this naked thing now? Have you joined witchcraft? Do you get the point? That is what happens. That is what happens. It's when people have joined witchcraft. Listen, for the witch, not for you to be the one to run away from witch, from the witch, it shows you are not a true believer. You're not. Let me give you the word of God again. If your mother-in-law or your mother ever wants to come to your house, she's not a witch. Unless you are not a Christian. Because if you're really a Christian, she does not want to come. When she arrives, she's the one that will be fidgeting. I'm going. One day I heard a story recently. A man, they said, went to a hospital to pray. To a mental hospital. So he told the doctor, there are two sets of people in your hospital. Some of them are mentally sick as a medical condition. Some of them are demon possessed. And I'll tell you the difference between them. So the man said, how will you know the difference? Now listen to what I want to say. He said, when I will pray for them. He said, anyone I pray for, if he's demon possessed, or if he's mentally sick, just normal mental sickness, that he will calm down. He said, he will get well over time after my prayer. He said, but if I start praying, they get agitated. He said, then they are demon possessed. The man said, why? He said, because demons can't rest when the name of Jesus is mentioned. So the man began to pray. Some got agitated. He cast out demons out of them. He said, those ones, you can discharge them immediately. He said, but the other ones, that as I began to pray, they became calm. They went at peace. You know, some of them slept, you know. He said, it will take a while. They are going to get healed gradually. Now, why am I telling this story? It was one man's experience. It's because he said, if I start praying, the ones that are demon-possessed, they can't be at peace. What am I trying to say? The witch can't come to your house and be at peace if you're a true believer. So don't worry about your aunties. They've come. You are rich now. Why can't they come and take from you? Wicked soul. Share. Christmas is coming. Share. Nothing will go wrong with you. A stranger asks you for money. Give. They can't do anything. A stranger shakes your hand, bring out your hand, pump his handbag. Tell him, God bless you. If he's truly a witch with an evil mind, listen, his brain will go for your sake. Say amen.
Amen.
I want people to be afraid of you. Their brains will disappear. If you ever encounter a true person who came with evil powers against you, that is the day this destruction will begin. And he will know. And he will tell you, there was a day. Say, what happened? Say, I've not been well since that day I shook your hand. Many of them, that's how they give their lives to Christ. Many of them, that's how they will give their lives to Christ. I think I can end my message here. We'll continue from this particular point tomorrow. The point I've made to you today is, listen, those people that many of us pray against, they are not the destiny holders. They're not the ones, without our message, the deciders of destiny, revealing and overcoming what? The true, emphasis on true, enemies of destiny. They can't hold your destiny. Let me end with this. Your destiny is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Let me tell you about your destiny if you're a believer. It was written by God as his will.
Amen.
I don't know whether you're getting my point.
Amen.
They said, God, write your will. He wrote your destiny.
Amen.
Who is it that wants to come against God's will and still stand? I hope you're getting my point. Your destiny was written, and God said, that is my will. That's how powerful it is.
That's how nobody can withstand it. Let me tell you another thing. It was sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what he said? It is hidden in heaven where nothing can touch it. Oh, let me say what I'm going to say to you. There are those running abroad because they want their money, you know, their wealth to come. If your destiny is abundance of wealth, if you like run to Rwanda, it will come.
Yeah.
If you like go to Congo, it will come.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, it will come.
Yeah.
You don't need to run to a rich place. Wherever you run to, I mean, wherever you are, if that is where God has ordained you to be, it will come there.
Yeah.
You don't go looking for it. Do you know why? It is kept in the place. That place is called heaven. When the Bible uses the word heaven, it doesn't mean something you catch when you die. That's a mistake we make a lot of times. The Bible says we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What we think is that, okay, when I will get to heaven, we'll be healed. When we get to heaven, there will be no more hunger. Why can there be hunger in heaven? I mean, it's not because there's food, it's just because we don't need the food. Are you getting what I'm explaining here? When the Bible says something is kept in heaven, what it means is this. Even though the economy of the earth is bad, it will still manifest. That means it is not touched by the physical economy. It means Boko Haram cannot blow it to pieces. When they say something is kept in heaven, it means it's in a safe place. That if you will, by faith, take hold of it, it will always manifest. When it means something is kept in heaven, what it means when something is kept in heaven, it means that you can rest in a season it is going to come. I hope you're getting my point here. It doesn't mean you have to die to get there. Tomorrow we'll talk about how to bring that which is in heaven down to the earth. If your money is kept in heaven, can you spend it without going to the bank? Think about it. Can you spend it without going to the bank? Yes. Don't you have an ATM card? Have you not bought fuel? Meantime, I want to buy fuel. I tap my heart. I just say, please, do you have a POS? They say, yes, sir. I said, there was a day I needed to buy fuel. My car was, you remember, my car was in red. That day, I told you that I came to the office. I was thinking, I checked. This car don't red. You know the red. There's a kind of red that starts to be flickering. There's a kind of red light that is staying. But it's a kind that stayed yesterday. And you have been driving since yesterday. Now, you know, you are close to... That one I can't check. Maybe all the money I have was 500 naira. How can a man of my size enter a police station with a car that's about to stop? I just entered. Then I remembered. Please, do you have POS? They say, yes, sir. I say, oh, well. He said, should I fill it? I forgot how much I watch. I just put fire. Put for, because I had to pay ahead, we agreed on one large sum. Ping, ping, ping. I didn't go to the bank. Oh. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
That's how spiritual things are. Even though it's in heaven, it can be spent on the earth. It's not when you die to die that your destiny starts to manifest because it's kept in heaven. When I said it is kept in heaven, I mean it is safe. When I said it's kept in heaven, I mean wherever God has planted you, there it will manifest.
Amen.
It has its season. But your destiny is safe. Another thing I should add before I go. But I've been having problems. Please, in case I forget tomorrow, say that you said, why will a Christian have problems? Because it is possible. Don't believe the gospel that everything is sweet and rosy in Christ. No. There's what is called the trial of your faith. And sometimes, God just allows the earth and the heavens to test you to see whether you really believe in Him. You can have problems, but it doesn't mean you are cursed. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
the fact that you have problems does not mean you are cursed. There is no problem that you have that's not common to man. People said to me, I have near success syndrome. There's one man who told me once, he said, people disappoint me a lot. You know, I was supposed to pray for people. He came. I said, what's the prayer point? He said, people disappoint me a lot. I said, they disappoint you? He said, yes. I said, what did you say? He said, people disappoint me. I said, no, say it again. People disappoint me. Who disappoints you? People. I said, that's how they are. It's their nature. It's nothing surprising. It's called flesh. Cursed is the one who trusts in flesh. They disappoint people. So what we'll do is to remove your faith from people and put it on God. It's not a matter of deliverance. He wanted me to pray in the name that. He said, you know, people now say that somebody put a spiritual shit on your body. You hear that kind of people?
Yeah.
So they want to buy spiritual toilet paper to wipe you clean. That man, that day, I don't know whether it's the same man, told me, I said, what do you do? He said, I help politicians only. Unyoshi, you help politicians. Why won't they disappoint you? The Lord is good. So when a man tells me he's helping politicians, everybody's helping politicians. They have to disappoint somebody. It's not a sign that you need prayer. There's a curse in your life. So I have next success syndrome. I said, don't worry about it. In your due season, you will succeed. Rise to your feet. Let us pray. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. All right, you can come. Say, Lord, I thank you because I've been set free in Christ Jesus. Say, Lord, I thank you. Let's give thanks. Let us give thanks.
Just thank the Lord for the word that you have heard. Remember again that you are set free indeed. That you are free indeed. And thank the Lord for the freedom that you have in Him. Thank the Lord for the freedom that you have in Him. Say, Father, I thank you because I am free indeed. I am free indeed. Say, my mother is not a witch. My father is not a witch. Say, no witch can touch me. No witch can do me nothing. I don't even think about them. I am set free indeed. I am above only. I am not beneath. I am not afraid of the pestilence that moves by night. I am not afraid of the evil that moves by day. That wasteful destruction that moves around. Say, Father, I thank you. I am not afraid of them. Say, Lord, I am safe in you. I am ensconced in you. I am in your cocoon. The cocoon. I am hidden with Christ in God. Say, I am hidden away. I'm hidden away. Say, I'm not a victim. I am at liberty. I have true liberty in Christ. Say, I'm not afraid of what the devil can do. I'm not afraid of what the devil is planning to do. Say, Father, I thank you because I am free. Say, in this present day Nigeria, say, Lord, I thank you because I have victory. Say, in this Nigeria that we are living in, Lord, I thank you because you will find me. You will discover me. You will see me. Say, Lord, I thank you that in this Nigeria, in my own season, I will succeed indeed. Say, Father, I thank you because you have a plan for me. My destiny is your will. Lord, I thank you because you've written your will concerning me somewhere. It is my destiny. Say, it will manifest. I thank you, Lord, because my destiny will manifest in you. Say, Lord, I thank you because my destiny will manifest in you. Say, I'm not afraid of the future. Say, Lord, I thank you because your will for me is my destiny. Say, Lord, I thank you because my destiny is in you. I thank you because indeed it is well with me. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am free, that your purposes concerning me are coming to pass. Say, Lord, I thank you. Let's bless the Lord. Bless the Lord indeed because you have victory indeed. Say, Lord, my destiny is in you. My destiny is in you. My destiny is in you. Say, Lord, my destiny cannot be snatched away from you. I'm not afraid of anybody, anywhere. My destiny is in you. As you have said concerning me, that is how it is. As you have said concerning my future, that is how it is unfolding. I thank you, Lord, because you have ordained goodness for me, and I am free indeed. I'm not afraid. No witch, no wizard, nothing, nothing, no evil. No pestilence. You have delivered me, Lord, from every trap that is set. I am free indeed. Father, I bless your name. Lord, I thank you. Eternal Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus. Now say, Lord, help me to walk in the fullness of that I have heard today. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to walk in the fullness of that which I have heard today. Say, Lord, the spirit you have sent into our midst today, let it possess me. That spirit of victory, that spirit of liberty, that spirit of above only that you have sent into our midst. Lord, let it possess me. That spirit of victory, that spirit of victory, of fearlessness, the spirit of faith that you have poured out this evening into our midst. Lord, let that spirit possess me. Let that spirit possess me. That victory that you have poured out into our midst, Lord, let it possess me. Therefore, I walk in victory in the name of Jesus. Say, I have my victory. I walk in my victory. I walk in my liberty. I walk in the truth of the word of God concerning me. I am set free indeed. Say, Lord, I am free indeed. I walk in the liberty of Christ in the name of Jesus. Say, everywhere I walk in victory. In my family, I walk in victory in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I will deliver your victory wherever I am in the name of Jesus. Say, in Jesus' name, my victory will set people free. Say, in Jesus' name, my victory will bring people into the light of Christ. Say, in the name of Jesus, my liberty will set people at liberty. My victory will bring people to liberty. My victory will help people to see Christ. In the name of Jesus. Say, I have victory and I have liberty. In my workplace, I have it. In my home, I have it. I walk in the fullness of that victory. I walk in the fullness of my liberty. In the name of Jesus. Say, in Jesus' name, I am not afraid. Say, in Jesus' name, I am not afraid. In Jesus' name, I am not afraid. I am not fearful. I'm not afraid of tomorrow. And I'm not afraid of the devil. Say, thank you, Eternal Father. Say, Father, I thank you. I am free. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. The word of God says, no evil will befall me. I'm not afraid. I am not afraid. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Eternal Father. In Jesus' name we pray. I thank you for that which you have committed into my life. I thank you. Blessed be your name. Thank you for the revelation of your truth. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Please let's be seated. Praise the Lord. Say, why you dey fear now? Say, don't no fear again. Say, walk in faith. Say, come on, walk in faith. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. If you were blessed today, give me an amen.
Amen.
Let me just read something Tozer said. Very beautiful. He said, no battle is ever won on the day it is fought. Every battle is won long before it is ever fought. No battle is ever lost the day it is fought. What you do today has great bearing upon tomorrow. Tomorrow's battles are won or lost today. Those are the things we want to discuss. What are the things we are doing now? Our destinies are inside us. Nobody outside is holding it. Nigeria can't hold you back. See people going to swim from Libya to Europe because Nigeria, I don't know if Nigeria is bad. No, you pay 1.5 million to be smuggled. No wonder people are drowning. They are drowning because God is angry. Not because the boat is dangerous. The Lord is just angry. Wherever you are, your destiny will manifest. There are those that have not done anything in the last 2 years. Why? Buhari is president. Can you imagine? Let's talk about what is deciding our destiny. I want you to know, in Christ Jesus, you are set free.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, you are set free.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, you have been totally set free.
Amen.
That freedom will be manifested beginning from now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you are sick, healing is available for you.
Amen.
In fact, put up your hand. I want to use that as grace. Put up your hand. I want to pray for anybody who is not feeling well. Even if you are feeling well, put up your hand. Let's amplify the amount of health in your body. And if you left somebody at home, go and donate. You leave here and say, I'm coming from where the healing power of God was manifested. Take it. Are you getting my point? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because you are the healer. You are God with whom there is no incurable disease. There's no disease of old age. With you, everything can be healed. And you have brought healing for us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we say thank you. Lord, we administer that healing power again today. And I say to everyone who's infirm here, or somebody at home is not feeling well, even if you feel well, your health will increase.
Amen.
To everyone who is not feeling well, I say, receive healing in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, I rebuke every sickness. I command tumors to disappear.
Amen.
I command cancer to go away.
Amen.
You spirit of infirmity, I speak against you in the name, in the authority of Jesus who died on the cross and defeated the devil. I speak to you, go away.
Amen.
Sickness, die.
Amen.
Cancer, die.
Amen.
Headache, die.
Amen.
Migraine, go away.
Amen.
Brain tumor, dissolve.
Amen.
Womb, open.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, I take your glory. Your children are blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. As you depart from here, goodness will go with you.
Amen.
Mercy will overshadow you.
Amen.
Protection will wrap you around.
Amen.
The angel of God, they will keep you.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Let me give you one small assignment. When you get to your house, say to the house, put your hand on the door and say, peace upon this house. And I'm saying to you, the peace of God will dwell there.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please open your magazine to page 11. That's how we share the grace in Kingdom World Ministries. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Are you ready? All right, we're going to read it together. 1, 2, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, please bless somebody around you. At least 5 people. Say, this is your season of multiplication and dominion. Bless somebody around you. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. As you are doing that, God bless you. The meeting is over. God bless you as well. We see you in the name of Jesus Christ.